You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Podcast, show 108, Thursday, the 10th of June. Little later start tonight, the Fort McLeod Golf League kept me going tonight. Had a late cancellation, so I had to run to the fort, shoot nine holes, run back here to Lethbridge. But we're back on the air, 9:23 at night. Colorado Avalanche are fighting for their playoff lives right now with the Vegas Golden Knights. Quite the turn of events compared to a week ago we thought the series was going to be done quick, the way Colorado started this. McKinnon was flying on that opening night, but the Vegas Golden Knights, man, what a franchise. The third year in the league, and they're in salary cap hell, Dave, but they're looks like they're going to be moving on.
Well, as it sits right now, 4-3 Vegas, 10 minutes left in the game. I'm in a cluster group of friends, fan base, that I'll cheer for anybody besides Vegas. I don't know if I'm jealous or whatever. It's just, I'm glad they do well as an expansion franchise, but I can't have those fuckers win the cup fourth year in.
Is it fourth year? Yeah, I think it's their fourth year.
Yeah, you need pain before you can have access.
You have to struggle a lot in the first year when they went to the semifinals or the finals, whatever. I can't remember. It's a lot of Bud Lights ago.
First year, they're in the finals. Did.
So it's astonishing that they're there. And they're doing it again tonight. They're in cap hell for next year already. But it's, what are you going to do? Anyways, we'll talk about the NHL playoffs later on. But the big topic conversation throughout the sports world is the sticky stuff that Major League pitchers are getting going down. Garrett Cole and Donaldson got into it last night, but it's getting a lot deeper. We talked off air a little bit, Dave. I listened to Michael Kay's show that Al Leiter on yesterday, a former pitcher for the Jays, the Mets, the Yankees, and he's been out of the league for 15, 16 years now, whatever it is. And he said when he played, 70% of people were using some kind of a gripping substance when he played. He's pretty much assured, and then some other owners and people were talking today, that 90% of all pitchers are using this stuff now. That it's not an uncommon thing. And this thing is taking on animal its own. The Garrett Cole interview from, I think it was 2 days ago, went quite poorly for Cole.
Well, it was the biggest non-answer.
The question was asked, did he use some kind of a substance? And he didn't answer, but his silence was golden. Or silence spoke volumes, I guess. First off, what would you think if he said no, he never did, and got caught because there's something in a lawsuit with that Anaheim trainer. We talked about it tonight on the podcast. If Vegas just scored again, son of a bitch. And then if he says no, then he's a liar. If he says yes, he's a cheater. How would you answer that question, Dave, if you were Garrett Cole saying, Dave, have you ever used grip enhancing substance on a baseball?
When I first saw that, it was all over Twitter. And so I watched a minute 30 clip of him non-answering that question. And I didn't know the depths of how much pitchers were using gripping substances and for how long. And then so the first time I saw it, I was like, geez, what a greaseball. He's a cheater, and that's what he's making it. But then as to your point, everybody's using it. Like from you get taught how to use it in the minors and that kind of thing, and of how to make yourself just increase that spin rate, whatever. It's what they do, and they've been doing it forever. So reflecting upon that, I really appreciate Garrett Cole's answer. Like, what the hell is he supposed to do? Because we all, he couldn't say we all do it, and why are you asking me? He couldn't have said that.
Well, that's the thing that I like how, because a reporter asked him, he's becoming the whipping boy for this thing that's league wide. And because he has the biggest contract in baseball history for a pitcher, la da 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 da, he's becoming the whipping boy. When if they would have asked, say, Trevor Bauer 3 hours later on the West Coast, then he becomes the whipping boy. Like, no matter what, it's a no-win situation for these pitchers to be asked that question.
You're right. And he dealt with it as well as he could. And so he basically said, yes, of course, but he couldn't say that. And it's the way sports is and how media is and players are guarded. That's how you have to answer that question. But in typical fucking baseball fashion, and I think we touched on this, being totally reactive, never in front of the issue. Because if all the players know what's happening and why is it a deal now? Like, I don't know that because of the everybody's shitting on the hitters for not hitting, being able to adjust against hitting on the against the shift, or this whole new analytical approach of a home run or nothing. No one's playing station to station baseball, advancing the runner. Like, why are the position players just tired of being shit on for being so bad at the plate? That, well, they say, like, well, fuck them, like, they cheat too.
Well, that's the thing, Dave, is that now that because the you got 13 pitchers on every roster now, and you got 13 position players in every roster, and they're getting into a CBA expiring, so now there's going to be the owners are licking this up because now the unions is infighting that the position players saying, I can't hit because they're cheating. Well, they're your teammates, man. You can't go against your team. You can't have this thing. So the owners are like, hey, this is great. We're going to get what we want for once. And these players are going to take a bit of a bath. And on another point that you have is that if every team's doing it, now they're making the umpires police it a lot more because other managers aren't going to say, hey, can you go and check that pitcher? Let's say if there's a pitcher that's a hot shot. Let's just throw a name out. This will never happen. Let's throw a name out. Let's say Jacob DeGrom.
Just let's call someone Johnny John John.
If Johnny John John's the next guy coming, he's coming up free agency, and Aaron Boone sees Johnny John John pitching for the Minnesota Twins tonight, go to his belt, go to his hat, go to his whatever, pulls out the sticky stuff, strikes out 15. Boone goes out to the umpire, say, hey, you got to check this guy's crap. Johnny John John ain't going to sign with the Yankees because he got called for his shit.
Well, and then how do we defend, like how are these then, balls going to get checked? Then, like,
and then what you have is you have a problem where the other managers aren't going to, they aren't going to get in that pissing match. They aren't.
Well, then, like, and how do you check the ball? Like, can you just grab it? Oh, that's sticky, you're gone. And
I think so.
This ball as evidence. Or you got to send the ball to get blue lighted like they do with all the sperm sheets
in the hotels, like
back in the day. Yeah.
I do know that in Major League, in the dressing umpires room, they do have a color chart because you do rub up the baseballs with Mississippi mud. And there is a color chart of a dark baseball, like a properly rubbed ball compared to an improperly rubbed ball. So there is a color chart how they can be.
So when you started that story,
if this ball is a little bit darker, they're like, well, how? Because they go through baseballs like crazy. They do.
And like, no matter what. So it's just a visual, not like under the blue light, not in a microwave or anything like that.
I don't think so. But if they have a reason to check a guy's hat or wherever they're hiding this. And then I hear that they have like different rosin and pine tar mixed with a sunscreen and all kinds of different things that I don't want to say chemists, but that they're getting guys to come up with these crazy concoctions that makes a better grip. Like, this thing is bigger than anybody could ever imagine.
Well, I think the lid has just been now finally taken off, right? Like, to even think about sunscreen and rosin bag and a little bit of tobacco juice gives you a little bit of grip, like makes you throw a tighter slider. Like, they didn't come up with this in the afternoon. No. Over beers, like someone told them, like, this is what I do, and like forever, Like you hear stories about it, not to this extent and not to the in-depth concoctions that are available to pitchers to become more effective. It's more of a, I don't know. It's just, I lost my train of thought because I was being too descriptive. Yep. I was being too descriptive. You like see what happens when you make me wait in an hour and a half?
An extra hour and a half. Oh, I kind of figured we were laughing at the golf course. me and Poozer were once talking. We were laughing. He goes, "What kind of shape is Dave going to be?" And I said, "He'll be perfect. He'll be perfect as always. He'll be good." So, anyways, we were kind of getting a chuckle with
But I think I was going to the point as in it's just peeling back the curtain and it's letting all of us know. When I say us, I mean me, who's never been a baseball insider, to see the little advantages that pitchers have been honing and working on. And if we find out Nolan Ryan had a little piece of sandpaper in his underneath the brim of his hat, are we going to hold him in any less regard? And I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not calling Nolan Ryan a cheater.
Well, he'll punch you in the face like Robin Ventura. He could come back and
Give
me the noogie shots. You at the age of
whatever he is, like his 72 against my 51. I still wouldn't.
I wouldn't be taking Nolan Ryan ever. Another thing that
but that's what I mean. Like it's I don't know. Just
like it's a long
and ways, I guess you can,
it's a long ways from the old spitball, right? It's a long ways
without
from,
a doubt.
Like the way that it's advanced now and the cheating and the manipulating the game. Okay, Dave, is this just part of the game? And it's because it's always been part of the game, apparently. Is this just part of baseball? Like stealing signs in your second base. And you're trying to cipher out the catcher signals to see what, and then you pass it on to your like not talking Houston Astros stuff, but is this just part of baseball?
Yes, but also on the flip side, it's once again technology is even ruining cheating now, because like back in the day, like now they're using this like whatever it's called Spidey Tack or whatever it is. And it's the thing I heard on the radio, and I heard an interview with the guy that actually was either the inventor or the marketer owns part of that thing. Technology has enabled the pitchers to cheat even better. Vegas is going to play Montreal. I never would have guessed that the Avalanche would have lost 4 games in a row. I didn't think they were going to lose 4 games in the playoffs.
No, not the way it started off.
Anyways, that game's done. So where were we? Oh, like, yeah, so the technology of cheating, right? So now it's not a spitball. It's not a big hunk of tobacco juice or something like that, or a nail file or emery board and a glove. Yeah. It's nothing like that. It's an actual sticky substance. And you know what? Here's what I think. Like, the invisible sticky stuff and spray, whatever. Like, I don't know how that works, but They've clearly figured it out. I don't want that in, but you can give me the emery board. You can have a little piece of sandpaper in the glove or on the brim of your hat. I don't mind that. But when technology now has taken cheating to a new level, it's just like steroids, right? It's just like technology is over. It's made cheating too easy.
Let's call this the sticky stuff era. It sounds like a Jesus. You don't want to talk about that puberty and everything else, but the sticky stuff era. The sticky stuff era. Is this more of an unfair advantage than the steroid era?
No.
Because pitchers years ago used to sit in those union meetings, and they would be told to sit down. This was for the betterment of baseball. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were for the betterment of baseball, and Chicks did the long ball. There was campaigns about the whole thing. So now the pitchers have the upper hand, and the Josh Donaldson's of the world are bitching about it. So which one is worse?
The steroids, and I'm going to tell you why. The steroids is because now – sticky stuff is now a tool of the trade. You got to figure out how to use it. It's like if you're a tradesman, like you you know how to use your tools, the tools in your toolbox, and use them to the best of your ability. Everybody has access to the same tools.
Yeah.
Steroids is different, because what I'm saying now for steroids is this is now your body being the tool. You guys are losing jobs because people are willing to inject things and alter their body. Like there, and there's real health risks to it.
Yeah.
And maybe not as much anymore, maybe not at that level, but you know, you're asking someone to alter their body, and guys are now losing jobs because they refuse to use steroids. A pitcher that's losing a job because they're afraid to use the sticky stuff. It's just what we do, kid.
Yeah,
it's just what we do.
If that many pitchers are doing it, 90% of them are doing it. So I guess 90, like everyone's doing it. So it's just making the pitchers just better.
Right.
Is it more of an advantage for the pitcher compared to the steroid user though?
Well, see, I don't know. Like you're not throwing that ball harder. Like, well, it's, you know, like warning track power, home run power, right? Mark yeah. McGwire is the king of that, right? He can hit for average. I don't respect Mark McGwire's career at all, because he's a steroid made player. He had a hell of a rookie campaign and blah, 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 a couple years in Oakland. But then he was terrible until he started doing steroids, and his warning track power turned into home run power. And then so for a pitcher to use this sticky stuff, does it turn a middle reliever into a starter?
I don't know. I don't think it turned Gerrit Cole's career from a $10 million guy to a $30 million guy.
I think it helps.
I think it helps, but I don't think that Trevor Bauer gets a $40 million contract without it or with it. Right, either way, like I don't think it matters.
You're blessed with that arm.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to use it.
Yeah.
And then the sticky stuff is
an extra added bonus to it, I guess.
It's now the laser.
It's like you said earlier though, Dave, it's too bad that baseball always seems to trip on themselves and shit all over themselves, and they can't figure out how to get ahead of this stuff, because if everyone knows it's happening, how does baseball not know it's happening? How do the people on Park Avenue not know what's happening where the offices are? Like,
oh, for fuck's sake. Cause like Joe, like I'm not picking on a Yankee, but Joe Torre worked in that office for 15 years as manager of the Yankees. He didn't know that pitchers were using Tiki Tough.
Yeah. And Donaldson just home run the fucking Yankees. Speaking of, they just tied it up. But anyways,
hey, he's chunky, eh?
And he likes Josh himself. Now he's got a new little haircut. And oh, just enough, man. You're not in high school, dude.
The douches.
Yeah, he's got it all going on.
The anyways, Toronto douches.
1420 podcast. A little later start. We rolled through it like we always do. Good opening segment there. If you get back to what you guys think about the sticky stuff, we had a few people talking to different things throughout the day on our social media accounts. So it's a fairly interesting conversation. There's not a lot of people that are equal on their belief of who's worse and who's better. I don't want to say it's a sticky situation, but it's a sticky situation amongst in Major League Baseball. And I don't think in the next 10 days, I don't think anyone's going to get caught. I think this is going to just go away like it always does in baseball.
There's going to be whatever. It's just like, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. Right. Like, yeah. And like even the managers, like, cause I would imagine it would come right down to it. It has to be the manager that calls for a challenge on the ball or whatever, like that.
And he ain't gonna,
and he like, you don't do it, I don't do it. Right.
Yeah, it'll be just the illegal stick in hockey. No one's checking that anymore. Just don't. It'll be a pissing match forever. And we all know. So let's just shut our mouths.
Yeah. No, you're like, And I don't really have an opinion. I'm always pro pitching as a general rule. I like to see good baseball, and I hate the way analytics has changed the approach at the plate. And so I don't know, hitters, you had your steroid era and then like let these pitchers pitch and like just figure out how to do it. Make contact. Just pitch, like coach to contact. Don't coach to launch angle. Like we've talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah. Anyways, 1420 podcast. It's show 108. We're inching towards the 12,000 download mark. It should be there probably tomorrow. Thank you very much, everyone who's listened. And make sure you guys share, follow, like, retweet, whatever it is that happens on social media. We're getting a lot of our listeners back in the United States. You guys left us for a while. Things opened up. You were probably too busy having a good time. Stuff we've all missed out on in the last year. But thank you for coming back and joining us. Listen to a few shows here and there and spread the good word of the 1420 podcast. Dave, how do you get your 1420 podcast today?
Well, I just opened up my phone and then like hit play next. But if you didn't know about it and you're a Google user, then I would just have like Google Home play 1420 Sports Podcast, please.
And it's a done deal. It's that easy, kids. So earlier on this week in Toronto, Canada, Toronto, Ontario, home of the Toronto Maple Leafs and nothing but the Leafs, and don't let anybody tell you different. Somebody in their divine wisdom in the Canadian government decided that the CN Tower should be lit up in the bleu, blanc, et rouge. Did I pronounce that right, Dave?
Well, like, the as blue, far as blanc, my, yeah, 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 blue,
yeah,
blanc, white, rouge, red.
Bleu, blanc, et rouge of the Montreal Canadiens, the arch rival who knocked out the Toronto Maple Leafs in a seven-game, not a thriller, but it was a seven-game oops by the Leafs. Once again, somebody in Toronto or the Canadian government in Ottawa or somewhere, somebody, because the CN Tower is a nationally owned building by the government of Canada, and they declared that Montreal Canadiens are now Canada's team. I can't imagine this went over very well in Toronto, Dave. What would your reaction be, Dave, if you're a Leafs fan in Toronto and they did it up for the Habs? And give some comparisons about how bad of an idea this was.
Well, first of all, let's not say someone in the federal government told him to do that. We don't know who told him to do it. We just found out like literally 5 seconds before this segment that the building was actually owned by the federal government. So let's put that to rest.
Well, I thought I heard it earlier this week, but yeah, okay, I'll give you that. We verified if we actually checked a fact for once in the 1420 podcast. That might have been the first fact check.
Yeah, we actually did fact check, but we don't know who the person was.
We did
because
fact
I
check.
Imagine there's a
manager. That's right.
Like, the only excuse for that is to light up a tower in your building, a building in your city for the opponent is a lost bet. That's it.
Ah.
That is it. Like, you got to wear a jersey to the
but
next
city hall. The jerseys, like, the mayor's between towns.
Yeah,
yes.
Blah, blah. But, like, otherwise, like, those colors don't fucking fly here. Like, we got a flagpole here and it's blue and white if I was Toronto. So that would really piss me off. But the timing, it's a week after, it's 13 days after Toronto got eliminated. The timing of it is a little curious.
It's only 10 days, but yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. They didn't fly those colors up the CN the day after Toronto got knocked out. It was the day after Winnipeg got knocked out. And once again, still not cool with it. Not cool at all with it.
So how does, like, Johnny the electrician, John to John, the electrician, he's had a pretty busy week between pitching for the Twins and being the electrician at CN Tower. How does this get passed through? Because like, there's got to be some kind of bureaucracy that, okay, because it's going to cost money, and there's going to cost this, and it's going to cost that.
Oh, absolutely not. No, not anymore. Now, it's not Johnny John. It's Edward that's doing it. Because Edward just does it from his or Edwina. It could quite possibly be a woman doing this from their keyboard. It's all LED lights.
No, now. I understand that, but somebody has to say, yeah, go ahead and do it. Like, it's not just...
I think this would be something that someone can hack quite easily. Okay, be outside the CN Tower. I'm going to change the lights from 10:05 to 10:10.
Boom. What would the... Maybe you're right. I don't know. I just find that it's quite... Ooh, because somebody said, well, they're Canada's team now. Like, I don't think that, and this isn't wrong. This isn't a knock. Every year that a Canadian team goes to semifinals, to the finals, which doesn't happen very often, obviously.
We're asked to cheer for it by... Asked to
cheer. And I...
100% disagree.
I was kind of cheering for the Flames in 04, I think it was, because my mom's a Flames fan. So I jumped the board and I was, okay, good enough. I didn't have a dog in the fight, a horse in the race. I didn't. I was like, okay, mom was excited about it. So I jumped the board a little bit, but I was like, whatever, I don't care. 06, when the Oilers went, I'm an oil guy. That was exciting for me. It was fun to watch. They were so close. There was lockout year before. It was fun. Vancouver went. My sister lives out on Vancouver Island, so I kind of was cheering for the Canucks, but I wasn't really excited. I'm more anti-Boston than pro-Vancouver. But once again, I didn't care. Like, I was like, I've got to go to work tomorrow anyways.
If the Calgary Flames have to win...
I don't think that city to city with NHL teams, they don't want that other team to win. Like, the Calgary fans don't want a Vancouver team to win. Toronto doesn't want Montreal to win. Montreal doesn't want Winnipeg to win. Like, those fan bases. I think it's more of a media thing that tries to get people to like their team. And I don't think that people do. Like, you can't, if you're an Oilers fan, you're not cheering for the 04 Flames.
Yeah, I think it's the hockey fans, excuse me, going to watch because they're a degenerate hockey fan, and you're going to watch hockey just because hockey's on. Right. I'll watch the NFL playoffs right to the Super Bowl, and I'll watch every minute. I watch every single playoff, every single minute of every single playoff game because A, it's the best football, and B, in 3 weeks, this is going to be over. I think the degenerate hockey fan is a lot like that. So now when you light something up in quote unquote, the surviving team from the nation, it's to engage the casual fan and just make them aware.
Well, it's something to talk
that's
about
the on, only reason.
It's something to talk about on Fifth Rate Podcast, right? It's humorous. What would a comparable be, like the Toronto Landmark got lit up in the Blue Blanquet rooms of the Montreal Canadiens of the Habitant? What would a comparison be, a comparable troll job, I guess we can call it, for other sports franchises to be lit up in their opposing teams or their rival teams' colors?
Well, I think it would be, whoa, I wasn't really prepared for that question. Like, so like what a good thing might be to do. Let's pretend Miami is hosting the Super Bowl and Buffalo's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So Buffalo's in the Super Bowl, AFC East rival in their Super Bowl. And then at night, the Buffalo fans have like a tailgate party and like with super good lasers, like just laser project Buffalo Bills highlights on that barn window wall all night. I thought it was better when I started this story.
Yeah, very good. I was thinking like what happened, like if some government official or whatever happened in Toronto, happened in Calgary and the Oilers, like the Calgary Tower was lit up in the Oilers colors. Oh, what would happen there?
No, you know what? I'm going to put this down for Monday's troll jobs. Think of troll jobs. It's I think we can do better, but we can't do it on the spot.
You would never see the Empire State Building lit up in Red Sox colors because it's an East Coast team versus a West Coast team for the World Series.
Correct.
You would never see Stanley Park in Vancouver lit up with Boston Bruins colors for some unknown reason.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's just like so, and then like, or we can just like use city landmarks, right? Like the St. Louis Arch, and you know, like.
So you think
there's a way to piss on it?
Do you think that was an inside job, or do you think it was a troll job?
No, I think it was mandated by upper management. That's what I think.
Municipal,
because
federal, or provincial.
I have no idea. I am not going to speculate because I don't. And we were talking. I thought of a good analogy. You're like, you're not going to cheer for this. You're not gonna, like, no matter what happens, you're not going to cheer for that. Like, let's pretend the Calgary Flames have to win a game seven, or my immortal soul is going to hell. And it's just like, ah, fuck. How bad can it be?
Yeah. I'm not going to feel it.
I don't know. Like, fuck the Flames. I will never, ever, ever cheer for the Flames. Ever.
Never is a long time.
It is.
Like, it's almost been forever.
A long time.
It's almost forever.
I cannot foresee. The only possible chance that I may cheer for the Flames would be, but I don't, like, I'm divorced from the Oilers now, but I would still rather them, is like for them to beat a team for the Oilers to make the playoffs. That's it.
Bruins Flames Stanley Cup.
You know, I would watch that. I'd cheer for the Bruins 10 out of 10.
That's greasy. I can't cheer for a Boston team. Anyways, get back to what you guys think would be the ultimate troll job between cities that you could think of between either players. And it's easy to troll guys now on Twitter and Instagram and everything else that people can do it with. What would be the ultimate troll job? That's a good topic for Monday's show. So it's Thursday night now. Get back to before Monday night at 7:30 or 9 o'clock whenever we start these darn things anymore. We're not really in a set schedule. Summertime, and it's kind of nice. But the ultimate troll job in sports, with the fans, not with players, because that's a whole other thing that we aren't part of. But get back to us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or email, or whatever, wherever you reach out to people. Think about that ultimate troll job for Monday night, Dave, 1420 podcast style.
And then I'll look some up on thing, and then I'll think of some, like, I'll take inspiration from famous troll jobs, because I don't, I can't think of anyone in particular, but I do remember reading some, especially in the NCAA. Girls would take out Tinder accounts and troll guys in town and stuff like that.
And then the pranks that school would have
stealing the mascot.
I saw some USC stuff, UCLA stuff, and quite, they're like, holy cow, I can't believe that happened. Anyways, Troll Job Monday, we'll call it. Maybe we'll have another segment that might be a fun thing to do come the upcoming 1420 podcast. Dave, it's we do it, I want to say bi-weekly. I get a kick out of it every time. It makes me smile, makes me laugh, and it gets my old coconut moving a little bit, the hamster wheel turning. Give me this week's Would You Rather.
So in Would You Rather right now, I have 1, 2, 3, 6. I have 6 Would You Rathers, and they can be quick hits, or you can we can discuss where discussion needs. So would you rather be a fan of Team A or Team B? Would you rather be a fan of Team A or Team B? First thing, who would you rather be a fan of, the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Minnesota Wild?
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Any reason? If no, then we'll go to the next one. Like I say,
I think that Minnesota, not that Columbus has been setting the world on fire, Minnesota, the Wild, have been perpetually dull. The way they played hockey was circa the New Jersey Devils. Not this year, not this year withstanding, but it seems like there's more of an enthusiasm the way that the Columbus Blue Jackets played hockey. I could be wrong, but I'm going to say I'd rather be a Columbus Blue Jackets fan. And other than the glorious jerseys that the Minnesota Wild had this year, their jerseys are kind of shitty.
But Minnesota's hockey mad.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's probably a pretty decent. It'd be as close as you can to playing in Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
Yeah, I would guess. Okay, next one. Would you rather be a Cleveland Brown fan or a Milwaukee Brewer fan?
Milwaukee Brewers, they went to the playoffs a few times. CC pitched there before he went to Yankees. Billy Brewer, when they hit the home run, he goes down the slide at Miller Park. And they're the Brewers.
The sausage.
I'm going to go Milwaukee Brewers all day long. And they play at Miller Park, which is beer, the 1420 podcast, the beer podcast, sports podcast, the Milwaukee Brewers for sure. And the
Browns. That's 100% my pick too. Would you rather be a Milwaukee Bucks fan or a Dallas Mavericks fan?
Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban's the owner, and he adds excitement to everything that guy touches. He's, Dallas Mavericks.
Okay. San Diego Padres or Cincinnati Bengals fan?
The Padres and their glorious brown pinstripes. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. I've been to that ballpark in San Diego.
I'm not talking right now. I'm talking the history.
I'm still going to go with the Padres. They did make the World Series in 97 against the Yankees. They're kind of a contender now. They went the World Series. They had a horrible situation in 84, I think it was. I'm more of a baseball guy than a football guy. I'm going to go with the Padres. What do you think?
I can't stand the Bengals. I'd be a Padres fan just because I hate the Bengals so much. For whatever reason, my boy actually kind of likes the Bengals because when he was young, he's still young. He loved those Bengals helmets.
I think those are kind of neat. I wish more teams had some more flair to their helmets. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers can't even get a symbol on both sides of their helmets. Like why? Like can't you afford stickers? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. And you know, the Browns have been doing it forever, like so they can't have a logo, which is kind of cool. But you know,
now did the Washington football team? They just went with the numbers on their helmets, did they not?
Yeah, like Alabama like
style. And I think they should stick with the Washington football team. I don't mind that at all.
I don't mind it either. I really don't, because you know that's a soccer thing too, right? Yeah. Like it's Washington United or something like that. Like
one thing I hate about the about European football in Canada or in North America, how every team is just the city name FC. Like just get some originality, man. Like call them anything but Calgary FC, Toronto FC, this FC. Like fuck, get a name. It's not hard. There's 3 trillion words in the English language. And they're just all FC.
But like, then you never New have York, a team.
NYC FC. Like, Jesus. Get a no, name, man. Get some no, originality.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with it at all because it's tradition. It's longstanding. Like, that's the longest lasting professional sport in the world, right? Like, they've been doing this for hundreds of years. Probably when you could tackle, like,
I don't know. I think
I don't know either.
I'd rather have some, if you're going to be a fan of a team, yelling go FC, that's stupid.
Like, but they don't, they have songs.
Wouldn't you want your team to have a name?
We were talking about this off air the other night when the Islanders were in the process of
getting rid of the Bruins,
Boston home. Yeah, yeah, sending Boston home. They were like chanting New York Saints, New York Saints. Like they weren't cheering Islanders.
Yeah, well, that was a Bruce Cassidy thing, and
the you know, and I get it, but like it actually had like with the way that the chants and the crowds when you hear English Premier League games, sometimes they have songs in the background. I would love to know songs.
No, I sing songs. I know what you're saying. I think
that's more intimidating than just say, like, let's go Oilers.
I just think that's fucking
boring.
I agree. It's not the most exciting thing, but I also think that these soccer teams just be called FC. I think it's lame. Anyways, next one.
Next one. Would you rather be a Seattle Mariners fan or a Jacksonville Jaguar fan?
Ooh, both futility. Ooh. And there's got to be times where both teams, if you're a fan of the team when you were 12 years old to now, you must have ripped posters off the wall and thrown jerseys away at whatever age. And, you know, I'm never cheering for this team again, both on both things. The Mariners, they've never come close. Jacksonville's come close. I think in their second year of existence,
Verlaine beat Denver in the AFC wildcard game.
I believe so. They went, yeah. Both just
not
extreme
good.
Mediocre at best. I'd rather be a Jacksonville Jaguars fan right now because they have a little bit of hope with a quarterback.
I'll take the Mariners because proximity.
Yeah, we could jump in a car and be at a game tomorrow night if we could.
If we were 19 and had
and stupid
the energy
and whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't have podcast do a 10:30.
That's possible.
There we go.
And the last one I have, and we all know where I'm gonna is, would you rather be a Denver Broncos fan or a Seattle Seahawks fan?
A Broncos fan because they won a couple and they may have broke your heart a few times, but there was a payoff and the Seahawks won once, should have won twice at least. But I don't think the heartbreak is there as much. I think that's the best thing about being a fan is that if your team is mediocre, you don't get heartbroken as much. Dave, does that make sense? Without a doubt,
because it sucks.
Like if your team's 8-8, you're all right. Well, try again next year. But if your team goes 13-3, or if your team goes to ALCS, or team goes to Stanley Cup semifinals on a consistent basis, that sucks. But at least it brings you back more. And it reels you in. You're that fish, right? And I don't know. I'd rather be a team that's close every year, and it kills you, because we said a long time ago that losing sucks.
Okay, so here's this.
Like when you finally win one, yeah, it's great for a couple days, but losing that tears at you for a little bit.
So we say that now. So let's say you live in Milwaukee, and so you got the Brewers and the Bucks. You're going to be a fan of the hometown team, but like at when you become a cognizant fan, when you start understanding how everything goes, it's like, Jesus, I don't know if we're ever going to win in my lifetime. We might lick the jar, but then like,
well, that's what
being
I'm,
a fan. That's what I'm getting yeah. At. Like, but then like a Yankees fan or a Boston fan, you know, you're going to have a kick at that can once a decade, right? A Dodger fan, you know, you're going to have a kick at the can. A Lakers fan, right?
Yeah.
You know that. But in baseball, like if you're a Texas Rangers fan, if you're Arizona, the Colorado Rockies, you're going to be happy with one in your lifetime. And the chips really have to fall right into place. So do you stop being a fan of your team, or do you just start cheering for the fucking Yankees?
Well, I wouldn't always use that as an adjective for the Yankees, Dave. That's not very nice. But no, you don't. You would always cheer for your team. Like once they're your team, they're your team. Like And it doesn't matter what age they become your team. Like once they're your team and you mean it, like you can't change that fact.
No, I get it. But then like, so like as someone who lives in Milwaukee, are you a Brewers fan or are you a Big Boy fan? Or do you wish, fuck, I wish Milwaukee never even had a team so I don't have to cheer for these bumps?
See, that's...
How do you be a fan? Like, I get it. It's not your fault you're a fan. You live there and you want baseball to be in your city and you want to go to the games. But when you go to the games on opening day, it's like, Jesus, we got a chance at a wild card. And that's your best expectation.
See, that would be tough. Like going into the season, like you're both, like the other night we talked about going to an Orioles game. When your team's expected to lose 100-plus games, that's tough. But, my God. But they're not too far removed from being solid, right?
Right.
Like, they were in a wild card spot that should have beat the Jays in 2016. And that's not that long. Well, it's long ago in baseball years now. But
like, as a fan, like, you know, like I say, like, once a decade to have a chance. Not a favorite, a chance.
That's pretty good, I think.
Once a decade. But, like, okay, so once a decade. So, like, making the playoffs is having a chance. Let's say making the playoffs is having a chance.
I think so, especially in baseball. I do. I really
okay,
do.
Yeah. And then so, like so Colorado and Arizona have been out of it forever. The Marlins have been out of it forever. The Rangers since Cokestifter. What was that manager's name? Washington, Teddy Washington.
Who got Ron Washington.
Ron Washington, yeah. So that was 12 years ago. The Mariners
The Rangers were in the playoffs with the Jays.
Rough and Newer, right.
That was the crazy, the 2015 at the Sky Dome when bottles were flying off the thing. Well, being a Jays fan, like they went from 92 to 2015 without a sniff.
Yeah.
But it's easy to forgive and forget a little bit if your team's gone to the world, has won a couple World Series.
Back to back holds has a lot of staying power.
Yeah,
because like a championship has staying power.
If a kid is 12 when they went back to back, you got that kid hooked for life.
Right.
Right.
So now he's 30 and he's just happy to have something to cheer for again.
Yeah. So you got that kid hooked for life, and like maybe next year, well, I saw it happen. It could happen again. Being a Cubs person, there's people in their lifetime didn't see him win.
Right. 100 years is a mighty long fucking time.
That's a long time. It's a great question, Dave, but do you have to be a fan of the city you live in, like the teams that you live in?
You don't have to, but it's easier because like, just like we say, it's so easy for me to listen to 960 radio out of Calgary. So I have a more intimate knowledge of the Calgary Flames than I do the Oilers. And like, even though I am divorced of the Oilers, I would rather see the Oilers win than the Flames. And I know more about the Calgary Flames than any other team in the league.
Okay, I just thought of this. Has your dislike for the Flames increased more because of what you hear on a daily basis? Because they're good. I quite like listening to those guys in the morning. They're tough on the Flames. Like they aren't apologetic for what their beliefs are. They cheer for the hometown team, but if something goes sideways, they're the first ones in the morning to say this team sucks.
Yeah, so, why don't they do this? Yeah.
Does their negative, that's a wrong term. No, does their negative thoughts seep into your dislike for the Flames more than it would if you didn't listen to that?
Oh, no. It's like standing in the room of the enemy and listening to them shit on their team. Like, I love it. It gives me ammo, and it reminds me daily. It gives me ammunition, to shoot it at a Flames fan. Like if it comes up and like, oh fuck, the Oilers suck. Well, oh yeah, well, they're not doing this, right? Like, you know, I have more knowledge of the team I hate the most. It's so ironic that I have such intimate knowledge of the intimate as well. Like, I'm not a geek. I don't break down stats.
Dave, come on.
But you know,
called you geek a time or two. this week.
You mean a freak.
Well, that's behind closed doors, Dave. But I know that I've been called a geek by the producer a time or two just for my idiosyncrasies, I will say. But anyways,
it's nice to have a working knowledge of the shortcomings of the team you'd like to cheer against the most.
Yeah,
how's that?
It's just man, like you watch. You just watch on a daily basis, nightly basis, and you go, that team's never going to win. But then the Kansas City Royals, they won one. And most teams have a chance. And there's nothing better
than an underdog.
There's no better feeling, and you could probably attest this with Denver Broncos, than the feeling as a sports fan than when your team has a chance to win the championship. There's no better feeling for sports. Obviously, you had a child, and there's things that have happened in my life as well. But
as a fan of the sports, yeah.
So if people don't get back to me, there's better stuff than that. Like, okay, yeah, your pizza was great. Fuck off, whatever. But there's no better feeling than when your team's going on a playoff run and you're excited for the game that night. And you're thinking, okay, this can happen. And we got a chance tonight. And you know, like for me, the Yankees, the pitching matchups this, and you can look two games ahead. Or with you're a Broncos fan, this is the matchup we have tonight. There's no better feeling as a sports fan when your team has a chance at a championship, especially the playoffs. There's no better feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And how
it almost overtakes your life a little bit.
You become there's definitely levels. Like, because you become disinterested, you still want your team to win. But when your team's doing better, you're paying more attention. You're looking at more line scores. You're looking at more things. You're looking at the injury report. You're doing this. You become more involved. And I'm a little bit torn on this because like I've mentioned, the Denver Broncos are the only team I'm a card carrying super fan for. If I had to do this with hockey or baseball and look every night, like, fuck that, I don't have time or emotion to do that,
or the energy,
like it's that kind of thing. And then also with football, at least with hockey and baseball, once you get to the playoffs, you can lose a game. You can't lose a game in football. Like, you lose one game and then you're packing, and so it has so much emotion. So I can share it with like playoff games. I can share it with friends and thing, but like as a super fan, like when the Broncos are in the Super Bowl, it's like draw the blinds and put on the headphones, cause I got to watch this game alone.
Yeah, no, there's nothing quite like it. There's no getting around that. It's funny. Like you say, how long the baseball season is, but already we're 2.5 months in. And it's a 6-month season. It's like, it's not that long ago, Dave, we were saying, well, you're overreacting, it's early. All of a sudden, if you ain't making a move now, look out, it can be over quick.
Yeah, you say that too, but like all the Jays fans are cautiously optimistic. And all the Yankees fans are like, we're fucked. We're the worst team in baseball. Well, the Yankees have a better record than the Jays. So how can the Jays be optimistic? They're like 2 wins apart.
Well, the thing is, Dave, is that Yankee fans are highly intelligent. And
you're lying. You lie to your friends, I'll lie to mine. Each other.
And Jays fans just lie to themselves.
But seriously, like the Yankees have a better, like,
they're not very good.
My Twitter. So the Jays are better than the Yankees?
No,
the same.
They're about the same. Yeah,
oh,
they're
okay.
About the same.
But the Yankees have just spent $80 million more on their payroll.
As of now, but wait till Vladdy gets paid.
Well, today. Okay. Well, okay. So right now, today, 1-2-3 in the AL East.
It'll go Tampa, Boston, Yankees by 2 games over the Jays.
No, I'll disagree. I'm gonna say Tampa, Jays, and then Boston, Yankees.
So you think the Jays made the playoffs?
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping.
They had the toughest schedule in the major leagues the first third. They're gonna get some patsies in the back half.
Over under. How many games are they playing in Toronto? I'll set the 20 home games.
So that means 40 games on the schedule. I'll say less then.
Are they going to play in Toronto a couple games, you think?
Yeah. Nothing before September long weekend.
But then they'll get a lot last month of season play at home.
Right. So which is maybe 15.
I got to check the sched and see if the Yankees are in town that week or in there. It might be something to.
There's nothing saying, but like a double vax gets you across the border. And then it gets you across the border now. And you don't have to quarantine when you get back. A week from today, I'll be double vaxxed.
Going around licking faces and everything else.
Licking shit, not wiping my ass with my hands.
There you go. That's a bit weird. But anyways,
I've never done that before, and I never thought it.
1420 podcast. We got a little bit left
but
to be tonight.
Dirty.
But this is that's
and
dirty.
Jeremy.
Ooh, boy. Sally, bring us home. Boxing used to be the... Man, on Saturday nights, pay-per-views and everything else used to be just it was the best thing in sport. And if you could find a sports bar to go watch Mike Tyson or Vander Holyfield or Sugar Ray Leonard or Leon Spinks or whoever, it was an astonishing day. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this because it kind of makes me sick the way that boxing is now and the way a guy who's made more money than most countries will ever see in their lifetimes, how this guy, Floyd Mayweather Jr., degraded the sport of boxing on Sunday night by fighting a YouTube sensation and for money only. Yes, we all do things for money, but the way Floyd Mayweather did this on Sunday night makes me sick. I think it's disgusting that they made it last 8 rounds to get more people to buy in. I don't want to end this podcast. We've had a lot of fun tonight, but I just want to know your thoughts quickly. And do you agree or disagree with what I said there?
We talked off air. I didn't want to talk about this. This is what I'm going to say. Fuck this shit. This is just a spectacle. It's just to make money for a domestic abuser and a YouTube star. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Absolutely gross that Mayweather would degrade the sport that made him a very rich man, that he would do that. That's my opinion. Get back to us if you think differently. But I think it took boxing back to the Stone Age. That's my opinion. Anyways, Dave, that's the negative thing. Let's get some positive stuff to 1420 podcast. Let's end this thing up on a good note.
I don't know if you saw this today. I just caught it on Twitter. The NFL has specific numbers for specific positions. They've had that forever, and they've loosened the rules so different players can now have more. Like the linemen all have to have their designated numbers so they can tell who's illegally downfield, blah, blah, blah. But other positions have loosened it up. For the New York Giants, Jabril Peppers is his name. He's a safety. He's still under his rookie contract with the New York Giants. They loosened the rules so he can have his college number and the number that means a lot to him, 5. Guess who owns that number? The fucking kicker. And so the kicker said, okay, make me an offer. And all I know about this is on Twitter, like this is publicly on Twitter. And Jabril Peppers says, no, he wants too much. I'm not switching to 5. How much money would it take you to change your number, to let a teammate buy the number?
How long have I been on the let's pick a team. How long have I been a, I don't want to say Yankee because that's an easy one. How long have I been a California Angel? How long have I been there?
Well, so Gano has been there. He just signed a contract last year. He used to be Carolina's kicker. Now he's the Giants kicker. Jabril Peppers is in his final year of his rookie contract.
I would take, like, if some guy come in, free agent signing, wanted my jersey, I would like a, oh, I'm going to go for it. Shoot high, aim low. I want a car for my mom. Just because I'm kind of being asked about it. Get my mom a car. A really, really, really good weekend somewhere, like Vegas or whatever. And, oh yeah, here we go. And you, player B, whoever your name is.
Who wants my number?
You're cleaning my pool. And I'm watching it. And I'm tasing it.
That would never happen. I love where you're going.
And I'm tasing it. And we're putting it on YouTube and Twitter. That's so a weekend, my mom a car, and you're cleaning my pool. That's what I'm doing.
I love it. I love it. But that... One thing I said was, $50,000 to the charity of my choice for the rest of your career, and I videotape you mowing my lawn.
Mow the lawn, clean the
mow the lawn. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Just mow my lawn.
Done.
And it's not about money anymore.
Yeah, they got what they're fine.
Mow my goddamn lawn.
Yeah.
Because
I said get my mom a car
because you already bought your mom a car.
No, but I know, but then mom could tell the story around Fort McLeod. You'll never guess where I got this car. So then she could tell her friends that she'll drive down to the bakery or to the grocery store. Oh, my son made this deal. He's got a car. I don't know. Because what would be funny, because you know old people talk, like the Seinfeld episode, where'd you get the car? Well, I'll tell you where I got the car. My son made a deal. He sold his jersey. I got a car. What do you do? I don't know. I don't know. That's just my thought on it. That's a good question. Well, that's funny.
It is. It's hilarious. And then, actually, because we were a little bit delayed tonight, I wanted to talk about it. So I did a little research on it, too. So Jabril Peppers got traded from the Browns to the Giants, and he's still under his rookie contract. So the kicker, Graham Gano, he has a 3-year deal for $14 million.
Kicker.
Jabril Peppers is on his final year of a 4-year deal worth $10.3 million. So the kicker has more fucking.
Jesus. You know, when I was.
Then the safety.
Dave, when I was in my 30s and still had hopes and dreams of having a child and having a boy, I always said, if I have a son, I am going to put uprights up in my backyard and teach him to kick. Just kick, man. Because who becomes the kicker? The worst kid in the football team at Pop Warner or whatever.
No, it's not. It's the soccer player. That also plays soccer. It's not the worst kid.
Just kick. Go by yourself and kick. Okay, whoever. Go to the field and just, you don't need a team to practice. Go and kick, and I'll just sit back in my pool that Jabril Pepper is going to clean, man.
Yeah, just have a sandbag. Yeah, have a sandbag that he can do leg lifts when he watches TV. Where's that sandbag?
Put it on your fucking leg. Go kick. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah.
But the kicker has the stroke in this argument. That's hilarious to me too.
Funny. The kicker has the stroke.
So the fucking little kicker. Guy, so rookie contracts coming to the kicker. Say, hey, do you mind I have your number? Look it up on Twitter.
Here's my mom's number. Ask her what kind of car she wants.
Yeah, it's not like they're fighting, but Jabril Pepper said on to, I think it was Barstool where I saw it. He goes, he wants too much. And then when Graham Gano heard that, he put Bob Barker, this Price is Right, up on his Twitter.
That's funny. Well, that's a good question. That's a much stronger point to end off on, Dave. That was a good good question. Fun show tonight. A little delayed golf tonight. The 1420 podcast golf team. We wiped up the golf course tonight. We had a solid night in the course. I shot good enough to win. Dave, what do you got drinking there tonight?
Oh, shit. I switched it up. Instead of going local,
sounds like you switched it up.
I went international. I bought one of these mini kegs, I think you call it. I don't know what the fuck it's called. It's called Asahi. It's a dry Japanese beer. Actually, I think it's Korean. Excuse me.
It sounds good.
And it's 2 liters, and it has a nice little handle. It's tan. It's delicious. It's a nice dry beer. And I was going to spread this over 2 nights, but because my co-host decided we start an hour and a half late.
Well, it happens sometimes.
It's getting done tonight, boys.
Let's get into her 1420 podcast for Beer with a Sports Talk, and maybe a whole lot more tonight. But anyways, fun show tonight, Dave. A lot of smiles. We'll get this out to you guys. Jim, thank you very much for staying up late tonight and getting this done. Weekend's coming up. Weather's supposed to clear up here in Southern Alberta. Vaccines and things are opening up. Things are going. So maybe get out and have a little bit of fun this week, and we all deserve it. Throughout North America, it's been a tough go. Baseball's on, hockey's man, the Islanders, they got a shot. I'm pro Islanders right now, Dave. What do you got?
If Vegas and Tampa are in the Stanley Cup finals, I will not watch a minute. I will tune in to see Gary Bettman get booed. My favorite moment of the
Gary Bettman.
I Gary. Boo that motherfucker. And I can get behind that all the time. But so go Isles, go Habs.
Go Habs, I guess.
I can't say that with conviction, but I cannot watch a Bolts.
I won't cheer if the Habs score, but I'll smile.
I can't have the Knights in Tampa in the finals.
I won't
watch. Because I want to watch it, but I won't. Because
I might be able to pick up on my golf game a little bit more if that's the final. I won't watch either. But anyways. Good show tonight, Dave. A lot of laughs, even though it was delayed a little bit. A little more booze infused, I guess. Let's get into her. 4 beers with the sports, talking a whole lot more. That was a lot of fun, Dave. But I'm glad we didn't delay. We shouldn't make a habit of this, obviously. We have jobs and that stuff.
Not on school nights.
Not on school nights. They're all school nights we do. But anyways, take care of each other, but more importantly, take care of yourself. Keep your stick on the ice. And what else, Davey?
Jim, don't swing at high pitches. Ever. Like, fuck, you see a high pitch, just keep
going. Don't swing at it. Just bat the shoulder there, man. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you on the weekend.
Euro 2020 starts tomorrow. Turkey, Italy. Get your gamble on if you can. That's it. Turkey, Italy. What do you want to say?
Go Ukrainia. Ukrainia. I don't know. There's a song in there somewhere.
Stop.